4. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. A message that I've entitled Victory Over Worry. Any of you in here struggle with worry from time to time? Probably just a few of us. So from kids to adults, we all can struggle with worry. And we're going to get some help today that, if we would apply to our lives, can make a profound impact in getting victory in this area. Philippians 4, and let's start off with verse number 6, and we'll read down to verse number 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the provision of peace in the face of our anxiety. Lord, I pray that you would help us to view our worry and our anxiety, our anxiousness, as we should. Lord, it is wrong. It is sin that you want to set us free from. And so, Lord, I pray that as I preach your word, I pray, God, that you would give me the strength. Lord, I want to preach with clarity. Lord, to give application that's helpful, practical. But God, at the same time, I pray that, Lord, your spirit most of all would work through our midst, Lord, through me. And Lord, we desire to have the peace that you provide. And so, Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The worry bug. So we all from time to time are afflicted by this bug. And if there's an area in my life that I struggle with when it comes to worry, it is in the rat race of life, we could put it that way, thinking, man, I just don't have enough time to get stuff done. I need to get this done, and I need to get that done, and I'm just not going to be able to keep up, and I'm not going to be able to get this done and that done. And before long, I have been snowballed with a massive weight of worry. It's not a healthy place to be in. And it's not helpful for me. It's not helpful for the people around me when I put myself in that position. How about it this morning? What are you worried about today? What things have a stranglehold perhaps upon you? Anxiousness filled with cares. Maybe it's as we look at our country, maybe you're worried and you're filled with anxiety as to the direction that our country is going. It's a dark place. And we can be filled with anxiousness about that. We can be filled with anxiousness about the future. Not just the future of a nation, but the future, whatever that may hold. Okay? We may be concerned about the future for our children, may can be concerned about our own future and things that we don't know are going to happen. It's always the what ifs, isn't it? And maybe not always. There are definitely certain problems that have happened that we can get worried about. Maybe today it's your health. Maybe you're worried about that. You're worried about finances. How am I going to pay for feeding these mouths? Well, I have a tip for you. We've started rationing out our food at our house, so it's working out well. So if you want to try that, no, that is a concern. How are you going to provide for your family as prices continue to go up? And there are many, many things that if we're not careful can take hold of us and lead us into a place of bondage and rob us of the peace that passes understanding. There is a peace that Jesus gives to us that is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond what we would think possible, and we can experience it. It's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. It is a confidence. It's a sureness, even in the face of uncertainty. It's a rest to our noisy souls that Jesus can give to us. And it is possible. It is possible to have peace in your life, whatever you're dealing with, whatever is plaguing you and you're filled with anxiousness about. He wants to come and He wants to plant His peace in your heart and in your mind. And it's available to us. It's not peace that the world giveth. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Peace I leave with you, that is my peace." And that's a paraphrase of John 14, verse 27. This is no peace that the world's going to give. It's no peace that a pill can give. It's peace that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at Philippians chapter 4, and we understand that Paul is writing here, he is chained to a Roman guard. If there's a person who has some reasons for worry, it could be Paul. But what he gives here is helpful to himself, but not only to himself, but to the people he's writing to in Philippi. The Philippians were facing suffering, they were facing persecution, but yet he comes to them and says, "Be careful for nothing." And you and I, we can experience the same peace that Paul experienced and the people of Philippi experienced. We're going to look at three actions directly from our text that will enable us to overcome worry and to experience peace. Did you know that you can focus on that which is perplexing, or you can focus on that which is praiseworthy? I put it this way: you can live with angst, uptightness, anxiousness. You can live with angst, or you can give thanks. Because this message is picked in light of Thanksgiving coming up, and thinking about how really we have so much to be thankful for. Because we can get into that rut of angst and worry, or we can move forward with thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. We'll see that thread kind of go throughout the message. So number one, the first action that we must implement to overcome worry: put it away. And I'm not talking about just by your own strength, but put it away through Christ. Put it away. Be careful for a few things, right? I mean, there's those pet things that we're allowed to really give great anxiousness and thought to. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. And it's a command. So we're to put it away because it is a command. It's in the present imperative. Literally, he's telling them, hey, stop doing what you're doing. You're worrying. You don't need to do that. Put that aside. We live in the United States of anxiety. There, a recent article I saw, and somehow they do these numbers, but the numbers is not really the point, but the point is that the struggle that we have in our country, around 40 million struggle with anxiety. And that, in comparison to the population as a whole, makes us a nation that struggles with anxiety more than any other country. Why is that when we have so much stuff? Our focus is wrong, isn't it? But there is an answer. And it's not per se getting into the rocking chair of anxiety where there's a lot of motion and there's a lot of energy going on. And we like sitting there. We like, so to speak, relaxing in our anxiety, but it does not bring relaxation. A lot of movement, but not very much movement forward. We're not going to move forward spiritually in our life if we continually are filled with anxiousness. So put it away. It is a command. So that means worry, if it's a command, worry is a, okay, we don't like to say that, do we? Worry is a sin. It is. So we have to view it that way. We can't coddle it. We can't excuse it away. Well, that's the way my mom was, and that's the way my dad was, and that's just the way I am. That's just my personality. I just tend to be a worrywart. That's excuse-making for our sin. We have to view it that way, because until we view it properly, we're not going to get on that road to peace that Jesus wants to give to us. So put it away, because it's commanded. But put it away because it causes torment. How many will agree with me that that anxiety and that worry that we have, it causes serious problems to us? It does. It holds on, has a hold on us. It keeps us in bondage. And the word careful is synonymous, of course, with worry, anxiousness, but it actually comes from an original Greek word which means to be torn apart, to be divided, to be tormented. And when we worry, we are tormented with cares. We're tormented with that foreboding fear of actual problems. Okay, something happens, we're like, oh man, this happened. Now what are we going to do? Oh, I can't believe this happened. What are we going to do next? So those are actual problems. And God does not overlook and neglect us in those times. He realizes that we go through hard times. Jesus knows the feelings of our infirmities. But we can allow those problems to develop into worry. But then the what ifs, right? Okay, well, now this problem happened, then, well, what if this, and what if this, and you know, there's this big swirling cloud in our minds that is tormenting us. What if? What if? Impossible potential problems. And oftentimes the things that we worry about do not happen. But even if they do, has God left you? Has He left me in those times in which those problems do end up happening? Jesus told us very clearly that the Father does not overlook a bird dying and falling to the ground. There's a lot of birds in this world. There's a lot of birds, and some of them I could do without a few of the ones that make their mud nest near our house and such, but nonetheless, God sees that. And yet you and I, we are the pinnacle of His creation. We're made in His image. And in addition to that, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are His child. Do you think that God has somehow gone AWOL? That He's taken His hands off and He has no idea what's going on in your life? He is very keenly aware because He is a good Father. He knows. He knows. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and we're going to look, you could actually read this entire passage, we will not for time's sake, but from Matthew 6, from verse 25 all the way to the end of the chapter, great passage to go and look at later on this week, and just think about it, and delve into what's being spoken about here. But Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at verses 30 through 32. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? And here it is. O ye of little faith, when I am worrying, I am depending upon myself. I am self-dependent as opposed to God-dependent. And I am literally believing that God is not big enough to handle my problems. Worry is unbelief. It is a lack of trust in who God is. Look at the next verses. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows. God knows your needs. God knows your actual problems. God knows the future. Give it to Him. So put it away because it's commanded. Put it away because it causes torment. But then I want to encourage you this morning, put it away because it creates physical problems. I looked up on the internet on WebMD, and I'm not giving an endorsement for everything that's on there, but there's helpful health type of information there, and they actually say on there that worry and anxiety and those things are directly tied to high blood pressure. They can be tied to increased blood sugar, directly tied to headaches, stomach problems, just to name a few. So sometimes the physical problems that we are encountering are actually because we brought it on ourselves. I'm not saying every time. But sometimes that worry ends up leading to a physical problem. And so we need to examine our hearts. Okay? Again, not every time is a physical problem traced to worry and to sin. That's unscriptural. But in some cases, it can be. And we know in our hearts when we're battling with that worry and we're not letting it go and it's affecting us physically. And then fourth, put it away because character is developed in adversity. If you and I never had any hard times come into our life, no difficulties, no trials, no tests, would our faith become stronger? Would our character be molded? It would not, because that's not how God has designed it. And so, do not look at problems as this great evil. Oh man, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. Well, this happened, and man, what am I going to do? Don't look at problems as things to be feared. But look at those problems as things that God can actually take and He can mold you, He can develop you into His character, into the character of Jesus Christ. James wrote to the 12 tribes that were scattered. They were going through some hard times. And he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various problems. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So then let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, entire, wanting nothing. God is working those problems in your life to mold you into the character of Jesus Christ. We don't have to push against it. We don't have to fight against it, but to yield to it, because God is at work. He is conforming us. Jesus Christ did enable us through His cross not only to have our sins paid for, but to set us free even from the sin of worry. It's not just that He paid the penalty, but He came to set us free from the power of those sins that beset us, including anxiety, including worry. So put it away. Number two, if we are to experience peace, if we're to get victory over worry, if we're to live in a praiseworthy way and not a perplexing way, number two, pray. Number two, pray. Back in our text, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. In everything. By prayer and supplication. Prayer is one of those areas that, and I'm speaking to myself here, I fear that we do not tap into nearly as much as we should. And I believe sometimes it's because we want to worry. It's not, I just can't help myself. It's, I really would rather worry. And somehow we enjoy that instead of getting victory over it. Not every time, but sometimes we have that skewed view. We enjoy fretting about things instead of giving it to the Lord, instead of praying about it and seeking His face in everything. In everything. I need a couple helpers here, and I meant to get with them earlier, but there's no embarrassment here. So Caden and Drake, you guys could come up and help me with something here real quick. We're going to test out the strength of Caden and the helpfulness of Drake. So come on up here, guys. I'll get you started here. Why don't you grab a couple of hymnals there, Drake? All right. So Caden, you can come on up here. Drake's going to grab a few hymnals. Right in front here. The only embarrassment is being in front, right? So that is a little embarrassing, but hey, they can handle it. So I want you guys to imagine this as burden, okay? What we like to do is to carry those ourselves. All right, so Drake, let's put these on Drake, or Drake, let's put these on Caden. Okay, hold your hands out. Okay, and once you go get, you're just gonna hold them right there. Okay, Drake, go get several more. And Tristan, you wanna help? You got some hymnals you wanna help me out with there? Okay, so let's just see how many hymnals Caden can hold on to here. So we're putting a lot of worry on him, a lot of anxiety. There we go. Getting weak yet? Can you hold more?
Yeah.
Still more?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He says he can still hold more. Okay. Tell me when you're about to drop him. When you're about to drop him. Are you getting close? All right. I think he could probably hold a few more. Let's stop right there. And here's what's eventually going to happen. He's pretty strong. I mean, he's not as strong as his dad, but eventually these puppies are going down. So what he should do, when we get loaded up, you guys can help, guys that are still up, you can help take some of these off. So he should give these to somebody else, and that, of course, is the Lord. Much lighter burden. So you guys can just stick those right there. Thank you guys for your help. We had them coming out of the woodwork there. So what do we want to do? We want to keep loading up, loading up, loading up. Prayer is casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22, and the other one I believe is 1 Peter 5, 7. Just cast those cares on the Lord. Say, God, I've got a problem. I'm giving that to you. It's your problem to deal with. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I know that you're all powerful. I hand that on to you to deal with that situation. So prayer is taking those things to the Lord. That's casting those cares upon the Lord. But prayer is also worship. Prayer is worship. Okay, when I stop worrying and start praying, I enter into a place of worship. Okay, so one of the best things that we can do when life happens, when we're tempted to worry, is to worship God in prayer. He says, let your request be made known unto God. That ought to be the habitual pattern. Instead of having a habitual pattern of, oh, I got to worry about this again. I've got to get filled with anxiety about this again. But a habitual pattern, I'm going to take this to the Lord. I'm going to take these requests to the Lord and allow him to deal with these things in a way that only he can. That's worship. God, you are more than big enough. That may not be good grammar there. But God can take it all. Give it to him. Give it to the Lord. Bow before him in humility. That's prayer. With thanksgiving. God, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for how you've worked in the past. How I've seen you work in Scripture, in the people of the past. I'm thankful how you've worked in my life in the past. And God, I believe based upon how you've worked before and because of who you are, I know you're going to work for me right now, and I thank you and I praise you for that. With thanksgiving. And God, I thank you for how you're going to take this burden and turn it into a blessing for your glory and for my good. Prayer is taking and casting those cares upon the Lord. It's worship. And then it is asking. Prayer is asking. Let your request be made known unto God. Make those petitions before the Lord. Supplication is entreaty. It's pleading. It's begging. It's earnestness. God, I want to be specific here. I am concerned about my finances. I've got this bill, and I'm concerned about how to pay it. And I'm going to give that to you. And God, I ask you to give me peace in that. And Lord, I'm trusting that you would meet that particular need. Let's get specific. Not just, Lord, I've got some problems with worry. Help me with it, Lord. But what is that worry? What is that specific worry that you are wrestling with? Get specific and give that to the Lord. So if we're going to experience peace, and we're going to live with thanks instead of angst, we're going to have to put it away, we're going to have to pray, and then we're going to have to preoccupy our minds. Now, to not burst your bubble here, we're not talking about preoccupying your minds with the problems, okay? So we've already addressed that's not a good place to go. Man, I just want to keep thinking about this and thinking all the angles. And no, we need to preoccupy our mind with what the Bible talks about. And I want to challenge you to think about a couple of areas in which we ought to preoccupy our minds. Which, by the way, garbage in, garbage out. You guys have heard that term, right? So a computer is going to work based upon the data that is put into that computer. You put wrong data in, you're going to get wrong data out. You put good data in, it's going to work properly. So what I'm putting into my mind is going to have a direct impact upon me. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what are you allowing into the gateway of your mind? Okay, we're going to look at a couple things here to preoccupy your mind with. But what are some things that if you're not careful, you're allowing these things entrance into your mind that are affecting you? And it could be worry, and it certainly could be other things. But what about the internet? Are you allowing things into the gateway of your mind that's affecting you there? How about the news? Maybe sometimes we just need to say, you know what, I'm not watching the news. I want to keep abreast of things that are going on in the world, but I don't need to be captivated by the nightly news because it's not helping me. Maybe it's books. Perhaps it's friends that are not a help to you in this matter of the peace of God. We've got to guard against what is coming into our minds. What are we grabbing a hold of? Maybe it's a TV show that's not of help to us. The mind, it is that gateway that is to be guarded with all diligence. So let's preoccupy our minds with correct thinking. Look back with me at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. So this is kind of a checklist. If you're wondering, what should I think about? And even actions, is this something I should be engaged in? This is a wonderful checklist that you can look at. But the Bible says, finally, what? Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Is it true? Is it just? Is it honest? Etc. And one of the best things that we can think upon is the Word. Get into the Word, read the Word, memorize the Word, meditate upon the Word, live the Word, listen to the Word. Absorb your mind with the Word of God and experience the peace that passes all understanding. So preoccupy your mind with correct thinking. In Psalms chapter 1, it talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So preoccupy your mind with correct thinking, but also preoccupy your mind with Christ. Does not Jesus Christ meet the criteria of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8? He is true. He is honest. He's just. He's pure. He's lovely. He's of good report. He is praiseworthy. He is virtuous. Think upon Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Think on Christ. Think on who you are in Jesus Christ. Think about what he has done for you. He's rescued you. Think about what he has promised to you. He has promised peace to you. He has promised all of your sins forgiven. He has promised the Holy Spirit unto you. He has promised to be with you through those problems, through those obstacles. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. Think on Christ. Think on His beauty, His preciousness, and allow His peace to transform you. Every week, perhaps every day, in some cases, there will be times in which we're tempted to worry, tempted to allow it to get the best of us. But God has a far greater plan that He is working on. As someone said, what captures the mind captures the man. What captures you today, what captures your mind today has captured you. What is it? For each and every one of us, myself included, what are we captured by? We're truly captured by Jesus Christ, captivated by Him, or are we captivated by actual problems, impossible problems? This is a peace that the world cannot give. It does not come through the power of positive thinking. Well, I just believe. It's going to all work out. What if it doesn't all work out? That's not peace. Peace is not in good feelings. Those are deceptive. Peace does not come in the absence of conflict. Jesus did not say that He's going to give peace with the absence of problems. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. You can either live with angst or you can give thanks. It is definitely a choice. It's a choice that has been presented to us. I finish with this quote. I'm not sure the origination of this quote, but this is good thoughts to conclude with. We lose the joy of living in the present when we worry about the future. And we lose the joy of living for the future when we focus on the present. We lose the joy of living in the present when we worry about the future. And we lose the joy of living for the future when we focus on the present. What are you preoccupied with? The perplexing or the praiseworthy? You and I can have victory. We can have victory over worry. We can have peace that passes all understanding. And it comes through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your help today as I preached Your word. And Lord, I trust and pray that folks have received some help in this area of worry and anxiety. Lord, we thank You for the peace that You give. Thank You. The peace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as Your Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts. Help us to respond accordingly. Lord, to respond in humility to Your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.